Ooh, can't get that spit out right. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Underhood Show presented by Mel Hamilton Ford. My name is Phil Nightingale. I'm the general manager, and Josh Proffitt, our service director here. Take your calls at 316-462-3673. Anything ailing your car, tires, brakes, batteries, whatever it is, or anything in automobile world, be great to talk about and get you that great prize pack. And as always, Josh, what's in that prize package?
So we're going to mail it out to you, but it's going to consist of the Works, which is an oil change and tire rotation. We use Motorcraft oil and filter products here at Mel Hamilton Ford. Sorry about that. While we're performing that, we're also going to complete a multi-point inspection on your vehicle, checking over the brakes, tires, steering, and suspension, making sure all the safety-related components are ready to go for that next 5,000 miles of driving. You'll also receive $10 to Mel's Diner, so you can get yourself something to eat and drink while you're here with us at the Big Corner. $10 in your Ford Pass points, and then you'll also receive a BG products package, which is going to consist of a can of motor oil additive and 44K for your fuel system, and then nitrogen, so you get all the great benefits that nitrogen has to offer as well. So,
all right, let's get the phones ringing. 316-462-3673. Anything in the automobile world, anything you don't understand about your car or anything like that, we'd love to talk to you and get you that price package taken out. So Josh had a big night at the ballpark.
We did. Yeah. We were at the, I don't know if it was the kids take over the ballpark, but it sure seemed like the kids took over the ballpark over here at the Wind Surge and handed out a bunch of prizes and stuff like that last night up there. And it was a very fun event for sure. Had the new Bronco out there. So we put some aftermarket wheels and tires on that thing as well. And it looked, looked really well. Had it parked right up on the curb there. So,
well, good.
Yeah.
Fantastic. So a good turnout. And how was the final score?
So it ended up Wind Surge. It was when they won 2-1. So it was a tight game, I guess, all the way through. So I didn't get to watch much of the game. I was handing out
lots of stuff
here and there for sure. So very, very fun to do that though. So
able
to use the T-shirt cannon and
anybody get shot or anything last night?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that thing it almost cleared the stadium altogether. So
yeah, sounded like I need to be on that gun or something.
Yeah.
So anyway, good night at the Wind Surge. Glad they won. And I don't know if that's
so. Yeah, they've got a lot more games, but I know they're getting really close and in the finals, or for sure, if not very close to it, with those guys. So, but it was a fun partnership for sure. It was a lot of our employees were out there, but then a lot of other just regular customers too. So.
All right. Good night at the ballpark and everything else too. So Josh got kind of another weird thing happening too. We got our first 2021 used Bronco.
Yeah. To even say that is, especially, with everything else going on the availability of the new ones and stuff like that. So I don't expect that thing to last long up here for sure.
I don't know. Anyway, we had a gentleman get transferred here from Illinois, and he had bought one up there. And he came in earlier this summer and asked me about getting a transfer to us and stuff like that, but it was just too far in the pipeline already that I couldn't. But he came in and to trade it on a Ranger for his son. So we've got a 2021 Badlands four-door soft top 2.3 seven-speed manual.
Yep.
Which is very rare too, because in all of our order bank and stuff like that, we did not order hardly any manuals. Mm-hmm. So we've got our courtesy transportation, which you talked about already. It was at the ballpark. We put the wheels on it and stuff, makes it look 10 times better than what it did. So you need to come out and test drive these things. They're here to test drive. That's what they're here for. Take the manual for a spin, or take the automatic for a spin, whichever you'd like. They're both four doors. I didn't look. Did we get the doors back on the black one?
Put the doors on it before took off to the ballpark. So,
oh, yeah, you took the black one out there too?
No. I put the doors on it on the showroom before I left.
Oh, okay.
For the ballpark. So yeah.
Door's still off the silver one.
Yeah,
right?
Correct. Yeah,
I got you. Okay, so
One with, one without.
Yeah, so they made you put them doors on. I told them how they need to practice it.
I was helping. We were getting it done.
You're assisting. So
yeah.
So anyway, come out and check out the Broncos. They're very cool and everything else like that. Part I will hate to tell you that if you want one, you're probably on a 2-year wait right now.
Yeah,
I know that kind of stinks, but it is what it is with the production and everything else, with this chip shortage and all that kind of stuff too. So. But come out and check out the Broncos, take it for a spin. We'd love to have you out and test drive it and see how they are and everything else too from that part.
Got to ride around in that other one. What was it? The days kind of fly by here, but
yeah,
I think it was
Thursday
or something, but went over kind of by Mays and stuff. And all the door roof off and stuff like that. I really thought there'd be a lot more just like wind noise and
there really wasn't.
It wasn't.
We could talk to you. You were in the back seat there. We could talk to you and
carry on a conversation for sure.
And the only negative I got, needed some sunscreen. So, I know, ball head and everything else like that. I don't get it.
Last night, and I don't know, I wasn't paying any attention, but they have those hand sanitizer things throughout the stadium or whatever. And I was towards the end of the evening, and I was taking stuff back, carrying stuff back out to the van. I took one of the parts vans over there, and I just walked by one of those things, and my hands just felt nasty. I was like, man, I got to do something here. Yeah. So I reached my hand out and did that, and it was a freaking sunscreen dispenser. I was like, wow. I don't know. Wasn't paying any attention. Just assumed it was hand sanitizer, and it was not.
Really, I got a sunscreen on those things now, too, really. So that's kind of cool.
For being out at the ballpark, but you know, I certainly didn't need it at 10 o'clock at night.
Probably not. Probably not. Hey, 316-462-3673. That's the number to dial on the show. Anything in your car, tires, brakes, batteries, when you dial that number, it's the main desk here at the store. Let them know you're calling in for an Underhood show, and they'll patch you into us, and you get a great price package about over $130 from that part. So 316-462-3673. Anyway, Josh, anything exciting happening in the shop this week or anything? Or
you know, one of the things that I wanted to talk about a little bit today or this morning on the show was just, you know, I think we're getting definitely better in this industry from a dealership standpoint to the independent standpoint. But there's still a lot of this misconception, and I don't know if Phil, if you think that that's gotten better over the years or not, but the misconception that the dealership is more expensive than the independent, or to take a vehicle to a dealership is more expensive than the independent. And I think some of that has went away just because of the technology that they're putting in the cars. And really, I mean, you would have to be a very strong independent facility and have a lot of tools and equipment to be able to do what we do and what it takes to communicate with these vehicles and work with these vehicles in lines of specialty tools and equipment. And so I don't know if that's maybe helped kind of ease that out, but you know, every year we go through and kind of evaluate our prices and where we're at and just make sure that for one, that we're doing a just service to the customer, but then also making sure that we're not losing money, because we are here. You know, this is a for-profit organization for sure. Yep. And in doing that, I've done a lot of price shopping, so to speak, and it just blows me away. A couple of things with that. One is what some of the independents are charging versus dealers, but then also I come back to, okay, well, if it's more money, I'm good with that, but what am I getting for my money? And then the product that they're putting into the vehicle to achieve that higher price, it's mind-blowing, really. It really is.
Yeah. Well, here's my scenario on that, Josh. You know, I've been doing this a long time and everything else, too. And back in my day when I was a tech, we had to post our labor rate so the public could see what their labor rate was. Mm-hmm. And were the dealerships more expensive? Yeah, because then guys would leave the dealerships and go open up their own garage, and they'd take that labor rate and they'd cut it a third or whatever, and everybody thought they was less expensive from that part. But then I think what's happened over the years is, you're right, this technology's come into play and everything else too. But also what's happened is way back those days, the manufacturers, when we had that posted labor rate, that's what we had to charge on every customer pay repair order too.
Yeah.
Well, as the technology grew into our situation and we needed to hire higher skilled techs to do this work, we couldn't charge that labor rate to change your oil, to do brakes, to do services and things like that. And finally, the manufacturer let up and said, okay, we get it. Now you can have your variable labor rates. And that was back in probably the 80s still.
Yeah.
But still, it's taken that long to understand that and come back through that equation of a variable labor rate, where we're not charging the same labor rate to change your oil as we are to have that computer hooked up to your truck, or to have that diesel truck in here that needs a highly skilled technician to be able to know what's going on with that diesel. But, you know, back in the 80s, Josh, I started working at a dealership, didn't get treated very well, and I left, and I went to the independent garage, and I immediately learned within several months that, you know what, I'm not going to get trained.
Yeah.
I can't get the training. the training that is probably that's out there is out there by a parts house coming out and saying, okay, I think we got a call.
Yeah.
Is a parts house saying, hey, we got some new products here. Bring your techs over and we'll train you for an evening. Man, that just doesn't work today. There's just no way you can stay up on it or anything else from that part. So now the times have changed now to where we can run these variable labor rates. And you're right, Josh, we do price shop. We do keep it competitive and everything else from that part too. And I think that stigma out there of a dealership being so much more overpriced is different. But again, there's the good dealerships and the bad dealerships, yeah, and what kind of things you get done and how quality you get. And it goes back to your technician, goes back to how well you've got your technician trained. But then, like you said, too, all the equipment we spend, I mean, we spend thousands and thousands of dollars a month just on tools and equipment to stay up to date like we need to. So
we've got Colin on the line with us. Colin, you're on live with Under the Hood. Go ahead.
Hey, guys, just a quick question for you. I have a 2007 Toyota Corolla. With 148,000 miles on it. I come to you guys all the time for oil change and other stuff, efficiently replace the battery and all that. But one time I pulled in there and the guys told me that I needed an alignment. And so about a week ago or so, I happened to be somewhere else getting a tire replaced. And I asked the guy about, you know, the alignment. He said to me about there was two bars that needed to replace, you know, for about $100 each. I didn't know exactly what he meant by some sort of bars in the back or something.
So
here's your expertise.
Yeah. So there's a, you know, when it, excuse me, there's a lot of components on the alignment side of things, but there's, you know, tie rod ends, there's caster camber adjustments that are done by ball joints or adjustable ball joints. And so without seeing the actual vehicle and the alignment spec, it would be hard to say, but I'm going to say, I'm going to say it probably has something to do with a part or a component that's either worn because of a bushing or a joint that is worn out, or they may need the additional pieces because the manufacturer, when they put the vehicle out, their parts are mass produced. And so they're stamped and they're non-adjustable. But then when you go to do the alignment, they sell adjustable components that you can replace to be able to get more adjustment out of those components. And so I would assume that it probably has something to do with that.
Okay. Yeah. And I can get you guys to do it for me.
Yeah, that is something. Okay. Yeah, that's
what kind of vehicle is this again, Colin?
It's a 2007 Toyota Corolla.
Toyota Corolla, yeah. Yeah, there's probably some, it's probably on the rear, is what I'm going to bet. Is that right, Colin?
Yes, it is. Yeah, I believe he said so.
Yeah, so anyway, the other real thing there, too, Colin, is being able to make those adjustments and everything else, too, but then having an accurate alignment machine to make sure that those, you know, the alignments are the numbers they're giving us is true and accurate. Up that part, there's different grades of alignment machines out there too, to make sure what you're going on there also. So I'd love to look at it and kind of see what we got there. So Josh, maybe we ought to add a diagnostic on the Collins package. We'll take a look at that thing, put it up on the alignment machine.
Do alignment check on it.
And make sure what's really going on there, whatever. And maybe it is just a worn part and it is they're replacing one of the control arms or a stabilizer bar or something like that. That's actually changing that alignment from that part.
See, I tried to change the price of the lead and back. And, you know, I don't know if that is alignment or what, but
yeah. So kind of cut out there, but it sounded like maybe you drive to Kingman twice a week is what you said.
I do. Yes.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. And so here's my biggest thing with the alignment is it's you know, I'm not exactly sure what's tires your vehicle takes from that side, but the price on these tires, I mean, you can spend $1,000 on a set of tires pretty easy. And if the alignment's out, you're just prematurely wearing that money. From that mm-hmm. side of things. And then in addition to that, you know, things that people don't think of as alignment, you're going to affect fuel economy. You're going to add additional wear and tear on other suspension components if it's out and the vehicle's working harder to push it down the road. For sure, you know, that's an effect too. So there's a lot of things that go into a straight and true alignment for sure.
You know, it's kind of like yesterday I was driving to Salina with the race rig headed up there to go race. And we passed a, truck, and I'm not kidding you, the left front tire had to be leaning in at about a 30 degree angle, and he's running 70 mile an hour down a highway with that tire leaning like that. And I thought, God, and I can't believe he can't feel it or do something or whatever from that part. But again, that's the extreme of what, you know, what you're talking about there too. But
yeah,
to let something get that bad and that far out of whack is crazy from that part. So let's get it
in
here.
I don't want to do that.
Yeah, let's get it in here, Colin, figure out what's going on and get it up on our Hunter alignment machines and and see what we can figure out there for you, buddy.
So yeah,
I appreciate you, gentlemen. I'll do that this week.
Perfect. Thanks, sir.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
You know, I'd even take that one step further on the alignment side of things is that, you know, all these machines or equipment gives you a range.
Yeah.
You know, from that side of things. And especially we see it a lot when we get into, you know, high performance vehicles, the amount of adjustments that they put into it and what the manufacturer, the range is that there's so much variance in that range that we can look at a tire and see how somebody's driving it and still adjust it within that range and make it better than, you know, what it is just when it's mass produced.
Yep. Exactly.
And just what makes it work best for the driving style that you're using for the vehicle.
Yeah. I mean, we've done a lot of those alterations where you take a, you know, high performance car and they want all this negative camber in it and everything else too, but the negative camber is going to wear the heck out of a tire. But again, negative camber makes it handle good and turn good and steer good. But, for an everyday driver, that's not good. That's going to wear out a set of tires pretty fast. And normally those high performance cars have a very fast wearing tire anyway, cause they want traction and grip. And, I can't tell you how many cars we've done where we've took that negative camber out and everything else too, to get those cars to, wear those tires correctly.
Wear them a lot longer and get the bang for your buck on the tire wear for sure.
Yeah. Well, anyway, Josh, as we was talking before the call from Colin, and again, once again, 316-462-3673. Give us a ring, anything ailing on your car, tires, brakes, batteries, anything in the automobile world. Love to talk to you and give you that great price package, valued over $130. But we were talking about pricing from a dealership to an independent and all that kind of stuff too and everything. And, you know, like I said, back in the 80s, it was really a big thing and a hard thing to overcome until the manufacturers let loose of that. Everything had to be at that rate. I mean, the manufacturer would come in and audit your repair orders and make sure that you were charging that to the customer of the same situation and stuff too. So that kind of broke that a little bit too. But,
so then in addition to the expense of what you're charging for it, you know, where I go with that next is what are you getting for that expense? Because there is a difference.
Yeah.
You know, the very first thing that I can think of is just a simple oil change. You know, you can find an oil change for all over the board as far as what people are charging for it. But then now I go back to, okay, yeah, you found a place that you're comfortable with what they're charging, but what are you getting for that?
Yep.
And what's the oil like?
Yep.
And, you know, are they using just a conventional oil, a semi-synthetic oil? You know,
they're using a name brand oil.
A name brand oil. Is it, and I'll tell you, you get into, you know, name brand oils that you hear about or have been out there for a long time. And the chart comparison as far as how well they work and stuff on a lot of them is very close, but then you can get way off the board on stuff that is not doing a very good job for your vehicle at all. And, you know, is not lubricating like it needs to for that duration of, okay, let's say the typical driver is 5,000 miles. And you and I both know, we see it all the time of people that have now extended that even more and, you know, drive more than 5,000 miles. But when you're not even reaching the 5,000 mile point, and then you're driving past that anyways with, you know, a type of oil that maybe isn't conducive to that, you're just burning up
valuable
life out of that engine.
Yeah. It's crazy. You know, Josh, like I said, I know we're our fast paced lives. And like I said, back in the day with my dad, we'd be every 200 miles, you'd roll in, we'd fill your tank, probably put a quart of oil in, we'd air the tires up, fill the radiator, fill the battery, wash the windows, do everything else like that. Now we're going 5,000 miles. We ain't pull a hood.
Yeah.
Now sometimes we have these people rolling in, they've got 10,000 miles since it's been oil changed. That hood's not been pulled. But it's just our fast paced lives and going, and we depend on these cars so well, but they are so much more dependable than years ago. I mean, remember my dad used to carry a toolbox with him and spare parts and everything else in the trunk. We don't do that anymore.
Jumper cables and all sorts of stuff back there.
You know, it's kind of like the other day we were talking about spare tires and stuff. Well, who needs a spare tire?
Yeah.
You know, because those flats just don't happen like they used 2 years ago and everything else too. It's the way things have changed and stuff like that too. But again, these cars cost so much more. You need to maintain these things. And a simple oil change, a simple or works package is letting that certified tech go over that car, check the fluids, check everything, look it over, rotate those tires. And that's the next thing is you go 10,000 miles on an oil change, how much life you've taken out of your tires, but not rotating those tires and everything else too from that part. So lots of things going into preventative maintenance, and just let us see that thing every 5,000 miles or 5 months when it occurs first, and let one of our techs go through that thing with you. And I know it's a little bit of money right now, but it's saving you a lot of money down the road for sure. So anyway, 316-462-3673. Hey, let's get the phones ringing. Love to give you away this great price package valued over $130 for each and every caller. Anything in the automobile world, anything about your cars, anything whatsoever, love to talk to you and help you with that. So anyway, Josh, the new Maverick pickup, next thing on my list to talk about. You know, you and I and Lisa and Shannon went down and drove that thing, and I was excited for that truck, but now I'm 10 times more excited after that. We got to this week, we got what they call the okay to buy, which means they're actually shipping the Mavericks.
Very good.
So we've got about 7 on the way coming in here. So hate to tell you, everybody, they're all sold. We've got over 50 of them in the order bank right now sold. So if you need one, once she's come in, you see, well, of course, Lisa's got one coming too. She's going to keep around here for everybody to have and look at and stuff too. So need to come out and check out the new Maverick and everything else too, or that'll get your order in quick because they're going fast on that situation. And it's going to be fun to see those little trucks running around too.
So a couple of things that really impressed me about that vehicle. One was the room in it, you know, kind of a taller guy for yep. sure, but I was able to sit in the back seat of that thing and not have any issues with that. And, you know, driving it was very comfortable as well, especially for it being a smaller truck, you know, smaller than the Ranger from that side of things. But it was very, and they were able to achieve that with a unibody design is what gave them the ability to make that cabin so much have so much room in it. But then the other thing that I was very impressed with is for a smaller vehicle like that was the amount of power that it had.
When he told me, he said, hit it,
he's like, get on it, and that thing took right off, squealing tires, the whole deal. So I was very impressed with that for sure as well. So you know, and I think Ford's done a phenomenal job on the fit and finish of it, but then also just the price point when they're bringing this thing out. I mean, it seems like it's going to be a very affordable option for
some people. They say it starts at $19,900, but you know, you got some shipping on top of that too, so $21,000, $22,000. And about the average truck that's out there right now that I've been built is the XLT with luxury package, right around $27,000, $28,000.
Mm-hmm.
Great option package. And if you get the hybrid, and it's 40 miles to the gallon, and our rep that come around to do the training for us on the Maverick had been driving one, and he says, trust me, you do get 40 miles to the gallon.
That's impressive out of a pickup truck. You know,
and you know, the people I'm talking to when they come in to order, it's all over the spectrum of that thing, but there are so many people that are looking at that truck for the fuel mileage.
Uh-huh.
And they're looking to say, you know, I've never been able to afford a truck, but now I can. And I need that pickup bed to really not haul anything, but it's cool to have and all that kind of stuff. So it's really fun to talk to these people that are coming in to order the Mavericks and stuff like that too, that the different uses they're thinking about doing. And that truck is so versatile, the bed of all the different options, the things you can put in there for what you want to do, from storage to hauling to lighting to all kinds of things you can do inside that bed too. So it's going to be a fun truck to have and everything else too from that part.
Gives you the ability, you know, to have the truck, but then really not lose the passenger car feel in my mind for sure, or SUV.
Well, I was shocked when 5 of us was in that thing comfortably. I was driving, and I had the seat where I need to be. I think, Josh, you were right behind me. Had plenty of legroom with me having my seat where I need to be. And then Shannon and Lisa in the middle back there. It blows me away. And you're right, it's from the unibody construction. It gives it all that room. But all the things they've done inside, all the detail inside, you know, of that truck they did to make it useful, I guess the word I want to use there, from, you know, from water ballast to phone storage to charging, all kinds of different things they've got inside that truck. It's going to be fun. So those should be arriving here any day, and I shouldn't say any day, probably in a week or two we should start seeing them, because, you know, time they get shipping going and all that kind of stuff too. They're made in New Mexico, so they're going to take a little bit to get here. But 7 on the way, and excited for that part too. And just think I order a Maverick about every day when someone comes in and wants to order one.
Really?
So, yeah. Yeah. So very cool and very fun. So check out the new Maverick and everything else too. So what else, Josh? We've got.
So how about racing? How'd that go last night?
Well, we went up to Salina, and it was their final point season race, and Jake started, what did he start, 6th or 5th in the heat and got 2nd, and then he started 6th in a feature and ended up 3rd. He had a little spin action in turn 1 and got a little over jealous on the throttle too quick, had to start in the back again, so he went back to 14th.
At least it was pretty early in the race, it looked like, anyways. So.
And he drove her back up to 3rd, so I know he was beating himself up pretty hard about that, but... car's in one piece, just needs a little maintenance stuff. We'll go back out next week. We'll go back to Salina next week too to to go get it there too. So lots of fun there at Salina. We've had a good year up there and stuff from the winds he've had and everything else too. So it was a little late night. I think it was about 2:55 or 2:50, something like that, when I laid my head on my pillow last night. So a little short night of sleep. Who needs sleep, right?
Yeah.
Get that later down in life, right?
So, you know, from the guy being on the, well, let's say from the guy looking at the driver from being in the stands or out in the pits, you know, if you're not driving it hard enough and you don't spin it out every once in a while, are you really doing what you need to do? But you don't want to do that either and stuff like that. So
that's true. And what he said he's turn one, it was a pretty heavy, we call a heavy track, pretty wet, sometimes a little bit greasy and stuff like that, because there's no heat temperature out there. Last time, I think it's not their fault. I'd hate to be the guy trying to how to make that track right for temperature and wind and all that kind of stuff too. And it was a heavy track, and he got into one and he really had to get on it and turn the car. And he just said, I just got on the gas too quick, too fast, and just looped it around. So
yeah, there's if you were the guy that was in charge of all that stuff, there'd be no pleasing everybody. That's for sure.
Oh, no.
Lose situation.
Yeah,
for sure.
So then, anyway, that's what it is. It's called racing. You hit it again and go after one more time. So we're running out of time, and the season's coming up. It's got a few more races going on. We've got Salina next weekend. There, couple 2-day show there from there, and then we're going to go to Lucas for really 4 days. 1 day is a practice day. I'm not sure how much we'll practice on that practice day or whatever, but head to Lucas for that. Got one more NCRA show too, so got a little racing action this year. We'll see what happens. So
little bit of it left for sure.
Yeah. So anyway, let's see. We've talked about our used Bronco that we've got. We've talked about the Maverick.
So the drag car, I was, you know, we put those suspension components on there, and I think you guys shot a video about it here the other day.
It's out there on YouTube right now, and let's talk about that Mustang. And we bought a 20. We got our 11, which has been a phenomenal fun car to drive. It's won many, many, many burnout contests, and I still think it's the best burnout. Yeah, I think it can do a better burnout than the 21.
Yeah.
But that one day, me and Lisa were out in front of the store. I don't know what we were doing out there, but we had to make a loop back around. I know what we were doing. We did a burnout out there. And I just heard that old rear end getting a little loose. Neil Carr's a little loose. But, you know, it's an 11. I said, Lisa, we got to do something. She says, you know, why don't we get a new one? So that's what we did. We bought a 21 Mustang, and we're going through the stages of showing it. So go out there on YouTube. You catch it there. And it's Mel Hamilton Ford Hunt for Horsepower. We've done episode 4 so far. But we're taking each step with that car and showing you what we spend and how much faster it goes and all that kind of stuff. And the first phase was putting taking a bone stock car out there and running it on the track. And I wish I could remember the times, but I can't remember the times, Josh. And we just, next step was we bolted on a set of Hoosiers and a set of wheeled wheels. And that made a pretty good difference from that part. And then we went to a tune and a cold air intake, and that really made some big difference in the car. And now this last step was putting all of the Steeda and Viking shocks on the car, and
just had to stop the hop kit and shocks, and then struts in the front from that side of things. So,
and really, I didn't really think this would improve our time much, and it really didn't from that part. But it's these steps of the suspension and the shocks and all that stuff is for the next step, which is the turbo.
Mm-hmm.
And we're gonna throw a turbo on this car, and then that's when we'll see that Steeda parts and those Viking shocks and everything come into play of how much better that car will handle all that horsepower that we're going to throw at it. So we'll see. Right now we're just about into the 11s. I think we started high 12s. I think we gained a whole second off of just putting the cold air tank into the tune. And
by the time the tires and everything like that, didn't really gain a whole lot with them, but I don't know if we would have put the tune and stuff on previous with
that, might have been
factory tires. I'm not sure that you would have seen.
That's a good point too. Never thought of that too. Maybe we should have put the tune in before we put the slicks on it from that part. But on the videos, we show you exactly what we spent on each of the parts and the labor. So if you want to come in and buy the parts out of MH Ford Racing, or if you want to do it yourself, or you want us to install it here in our shop, we can do that too. So the next step, like I said, is the turbo. We're getting ready to throw that thing on there and see what happens. And gonna be some fun there too. So
you know, it's one of those things that they just go hand in hand. You know, you can keep throwing money at horsepower, but at the end of the day, once it starts not grabbing, you're just taking your money and flushing it down the toilet. But then on the other side of it, you know, you can get all the traction in the world, but if you don't have the horsepower to back it up, it's really not going to do you a whole lot of good. So it's definitely something that you have to keep evaluating for sure and adjusting and find the next weakest link, they say. I think
there you go. You know, and it's this thing of just buying parts and bolting them on. I mean, some of that's what we are doing, but a lot of it's not that same way. You've got to be able to build a package together that everything works together. Like you said, Josh, that might have been a thing we should have done. We should have put the tune in before we put the slicks on it, but I thought that was probably the easiest thing to do at the track was see what a set of Hoosiers would do next. But you know, here we are. We're going moving on to the turbo, and I think the next exciting thing, we're going to try to have it ready for PRI, which is in the first week of December. We're going to have a booth at PRI in Indianapolis, and we're taking that Mustang up there with us and having all of our stuff on display for all the racers. That's Performance Racing Industry has our yearly show. We missed it last year due to COVID. They're back open this year too. So it's going to be fun and exciting to be up there at PRI and meet some new people, all that kind of stuff, and show off our MH Ford Racing. And of course, Big Corner Creative is going to be there too. And those guys are going to be there showing how to do wraps and do different, show people how it's done. If it was me, I would be wasting a roll of 3M wrap by the time I got something done, because I'd get it on there and wadded up and everything else, and it never worked.
We'd surely get a fender out of one roll, couldn't we?
Be lucky with me. Yeah. I'd be so impatient and everything else like that, putting a wrap on. So Russ and Jason will be there in Indianapolis, and they'll be showing you how to wrap and what we do, and have some different displays on them, probably wrap some helmets, different things from that part too, to try to show you how that works and everything else too. So it's going to be fun and exciting to have that out there at PRI. The what is that, December 8th, 9th, yeah, 10th, or yeah, something like
yep,
that.
I think those are your right dates too. So
anyway, I think setups is the 8th, and it's 9th, 10th, and 11th. Yeah. So we set up on the 8th and everything else too. So going to be fun to see that too. You know, Josh, I haven't been paying attention to all the captions. Good morning, Jim Petty. Sorry I missed you there, buddy. Good morning, Jeffrey Coates. Good morning, Julie. And Rex Stigero is back again this morning. Good morning, fellas. A good technician is worth his weight in gold. I'm about to a quarter. About two and a quarter. Uh-oh. Rex, good to see you again, buddy. Sure missed hanging out with you when you and I were wrenching together at and he was one of my techs in Hutch.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So I think he's back out in Beloit or somewhere around. I can't remember now, Rex, where you're at, buddy. But anyway, you're right. A good technician is worth weight in gold. And that's why we try to take care of our guys and do what we can to train them and stuff. And I hate to guess how many hours we spend in training this in a year, let alone a month, that we spend with our technicians, keeping them up to date and stuff too from that part. So
I will tell you, for the month of August, I've had multiple guys. I bet I've sent 9 guys out to, I mean, there's been somebody gone almost, well, at least one person, if not 2 or 3 people gone almost every day going to training up there for sure. So
yeah,
we do a lot of it. They had our hands tied just a little bit, you know, about 6 months ago, 9 months ago for the reasons, you know, for COVID portions of it, but definitely playing catch up on that. And it's just amazing. I mean, I don't know. I really do think if a guy that was completely certified got out of this industry for 6 months, a year, they'd have to play catch up to get back into it. You know, it's something, it's continual. It's always happening. It's always changing. The new products that they're putting out and the new technology that they put out in these vehicles, it's pretty fast paced.
It's changing pretty fast. You're right, John. I think if you were out 6 months to a year, you are in trouble. I think it'd take you a lot to get caught back up and everything else too. And that's where we, you know, Lisa and I were talking earlier this week too about technician recruiting and everything else too. And, you know, back in my day when I went to a vo-tech school, I was looked down upon because I wasn't good enough to go to college. Well, I can tell you already, I'd have never made it through college because I'm not going to focus myself on all those other things that you have to go do. I was more interested in what I needed to do. And I was looked down upon that. And I think a lot of our school counselors should be ashamed of what they've done to some students to make sure that everybody just went to a 4-year college. And now these trade schools, we're dying for these kind of trade schools. And it's not just technicians. It's from plumbers, electricians, carpenters, all that kind of stuff that we're looking for these vocational structures that, I'm going to be frank with you, these guys that can make a lot of more money. I mean, I'm hearing what college students are coming out and they're making. Now I know what our technicians are making. I hate to tell you, not sure we need a 4-year education anymore to do what we need to do for the jobs we're looking for in our work environment from everybody out there. So,
and my other side of that is the amount of debt that you're going to accumulate going to a trade school versus a 4-year school for sure is, it's a huge difference for sure.
And, you know, I think everybody thinks you got to have a 4-year education to support yourself and everything else like that. That's so far untrue and everything else too. You know, let's go to these technicians. I mean, we need to be talking to these people, these young men and women, because we got a few women working for us now too. Yep. you know, in the seventh and eighth grade and get in their mind and set them what they want to go do and what they want to see. I mean, there's some lot of cool stuff. I mean, back in my day when I was a wrench, you know, I was greasy, grimy, dirty every day. Yeah, we still do that some with the different things we do here in this dealership. But so much of this today is working with a computer.
Yeah.
You know, back I've said as many times on the show, back in my day, if I had my shop manual, I don't know what the heck I was doing. Today, if this technician didn't have his laptop in his hands to be able to diagnose these cars and know what's going on, then know what he's doing.
Lost, yeah.
I have no clue. You know, I saw a little video here the other day of technicians showing different things they do and stuff like that through TikTok and, you know, Facebook and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, here's this guy showing right on the deals. Here's how I diagnose a car today. Here's how this works and everything else from, you know, showing the laptop on us. This is how it is. And so the technology, you know, that we have in these cars today from the computers, all these computers that are talking to each other and being able to learn how to know which module's not talking to each other, knowing which one's bad, which one's good, and what part needs to replace. That takes some good knowledge. You've got to be able to read, write, and do everything you can. And, you know, that's kind of what they did with back in my day. If you weren't good enough to go to college, you went to a trade school. Well, you know what? That's not how it is today. And, you know, in my situation, could I have made it through college? Yeah, I probably could have. Would I applied myself that well to get to college? No, I would have never done it. I'd have been so burnt out and done and want to go do something else from that standpoint. And look where it's got me today. So,
yep, for sure. And it's definitely one of those things that being in this industry, you have to be okay with change. If you don't want to change, man, it's it'll eat you up and spit you out for sure. But it is very cool. You know, you don't ever see the same thing twice in a day. You know, been doing this a long time or in this industry a long time. I know you have as well. And I'm every day is still running new stuff that I've never seen before, you know, new situations or circumstances or, and what I will say as a technician, if you get in the comfort zone of, well, I've seen that problem before and it's this, you know, about the time you think that, it's not that, it's something else. And you should have looked into it a little bit further.
Yeah. And you know, that's too, is we, sit here and I look at these options that are on these cars today. And I remember back in 16 and 15 thinking, man, these trucks and everything, all, you know, it's crazy. And look at where we're at today.
Yeah.
With all the different creature features and everything else we have on these cars to help us drive better, help us be safe better, all that kind of stuff. I mean, from lane centering to adaptive cruise, you know, it's just like last night I'm cruising back with that 450 hooked onto that trailer and I got my adaptive cruise set up. You know, it's late and I see this car up in front of me. I'm thinking, what's he doing? You know, and I'm telling you that adaptive cruise can react quicker than you can react. And this old boy, I don't know if he was a little drunk or what he was doing, but all of a sudden this old white cat, like he just veered right in front of me. And I'm telling you, my reaction time would have not been quick enough to jam those brakes and save it with that. But adaptive cruise did.
Yeah.
So you take that, the crash avoidance, the lane centering, the analog brakes, you know, that used to be just, okay, some cars got it, some cars don't. Now, if you don't have analog brakes, it's crazy for what we've got on these cars today. But, you know, it's, you know, sitting there, Mary's in the front seat with me. I've got the AC going. She's got the heated seat on the other side, you know. And, you know, so you think about those things. I mean, there's so many.
You've ridden with me before then, because that's the exact same thing. Yeah. My vehicle. I was like, why? It's 90 degrees outside. What the heck is a heated seat on for?
Yeah. Anyway, good morning, Michael. Only supposed. Thanks for watching. Anyway, hey, let's get the phones ringing. 316-462-3673. Hey, anything alien car? You want to talk about anything in the automobile world? Let's get her on the phone. Let's answer some questions, get you some stuff, or just some comments. Let's get some chatter going about different things that's happening in the automobile world today. Bring that part. Anyway, a lot of topics about these chips and the shortage of the chips and stuff like that, too. And I will tell you, everybody, the vehicles are coming in onesie, twosie at a time, and they're selling as fast as they can go. And, you know, it's just kind of like the other day we had a little battle with a lady wanting a Bronco Sport. And you know, she said, I'm not going to pay for that. And it's one of those deals, you know, if you don't, sorry. It's someone else is standing in line and wants that Bronco Sport.
Yeah.
From that standpoint too. So, you know, it's one of those deals is, hey, you know, I wish I had 100 Bronco Sports sitting here to tell you to offer that to you, do whatever you need. But if that's what's available, that's all I got. I can't go make anything any better or do anything any different. So we're a while before these chips are fixed. I mean, the way to get all these inventories up as I drive around all the lots around here that are short on vehicles and stuff, it's going to be a little while before we see a good plentiful of inventory on all these dealerships lots again before the chip shortage is over. And I don't know. I'm not sure it's over.
Yeah. Yeah. I would agree with that too. You know, and just in, I think you and I were talking about it the other day too, is just in the supply chain of things that affects this, this affects that affects this. And, you know, it's just a matter of fixing one problem at a time and then finding out where the next hiccup is, you know, for sure. So, when we were down in Dallas and we were talking to that engineer down there, and they were notifying, you know, how many chips there were in these vehicles, but then just the logistics of it between assembly and all the different option configurations of, okay, well, we're short on this part here, but short on this part here, and then that affects this and that affects this. And so it's got to be a logistical nightmare. And then I think once they do kind of get things ironed out or smoothed out, you know, I think the trucking industry is in a lot of some of the same crisis that we are from that side of things. And so I think that's going to be
a big the shipping thing things come, another thing. It
come
is.
To do, you know.
You know, we have this tool called vehicle visibility where you could track our cars and see where they're at in shipping after they left the plant and everything else too. And, you know, something that would take, you know, say a week to get here, it's 3 weeks to get here. So that's what's the other problem we've got too, is this shipping thing is really crazy. And, you know, we used to have one or two companies that were hauling our vehicles to us. And now we've got so many independents and different people that are hauling our vehicles to us. It's crazy. And I guess that's, you know, how we got to go do that now. If Ford's looking at, I'm sure everybody is looking for different ways of getting these vehicles to our dealerships and stuff too. I wish they'd give a little bit of a break and let us go pick them up at some of these depots and stuff, but they're really not kind of doing that either. A little bit hard for us. Hard for me to understand why they won't let us go grab those vehicles and grab them and run with them and go and pick them up and get them delivered to customers. But they're not, there's got to be more to it than what I'm missing. So we got our weekly caller on the phone, Josh.
Oh, do we? Okay. Yeah. I must have missed that.
That's all right. Let's get him on the phone here and see what's going on here with Mr. Whitehead this morning on that part.
Okay.
316-462-3673. We'll get Jordan on the line here in just a few seconds. See what's on Jordan's mind today.
I don't know. I really don't. I don't have a haircut, so I don't know what the heck he's gonna talk about.
Yeah. So let's see what Jordan's got on the phone here this morning. Ought to be entertaining is one thing that I will say. Must be something really good and entertaining.
Here we go. Jordan, you're on live with Under the Hood. Go ahead.
Josh, this is the first week I've seen you without a free. You're getting scraggly. You need a haircut.
Need to trim it up a little bit, right?
You need to get it shaped up, trimmed up, and looking fresh to be on the show.
I'll make it happen. It won't happen like this again next week, okay?
All right, well, let's not let that happen again, but I do have a question.
Okay.
So, you guys were talking about the chip shortage with the vehicles, and you're getting in the onesie twosies and you're selling them. And from my understanding, you know, there's all these vehicles waiting on these chips. What is going to be what's going to happen when basically, which I think we're probably to that point now, we're past the model year, or the new model year is coming out. Is there just going to be a huge discount on new vehicles? Are they going to be selling 21s and 22s, or did they slow down production? I'm just curious what the effects of that is with all these brand new vehicles waiting on chips to be sold.
Well, and Jordan, great question. And there's a lot of that being discussed now too, and everything else too, from that part. You know, because these pictures a lot of people are showing out there are pretty old. A lot of those vehicles, like there's a pictures of Kentucky Speedway here, I don't know, 3 or 4 months ago, just full of Super Duties. Well, I hate to tell you, those Super Duties are gone.
Yeah, exact picture.
Yeah, and those Super Duties have already been delivered and out of there. I think we're down to just 121 that still hasn't hit our lots yet from all those trucks from that part. They're building 22s. We're already delivering 22 Super Duties already too from that part. So I think they've weeded through most of that stuff. And if you look now, you don't really see too many more pictures of what's happened there. So what's really happening, for example, let's take Bronco Sport, a new hot little number for us. It's doing very, very well. And basically, we got the message yesterday. They basically took 8,200 Bronco Sports and moved them to 22 model years is what they did. They just took them right out of the order bank and just moved them over into 22s. And I think it's going to happen with a lot of models. They're just going to move them right over into 22. Same thing with the full-size Bronco. We were supposed to get more than what we're getting there too. And I think here next week, we're going to figure out exactly our final number of the full-size Broncos we're going to get. And they've already warned customers that if you have this certain model and this certain top and this certain colors and stuff, 99% it's going to be a 22 instead of a 21. So they're moving a lot of them forward, but I think what happened there, they built a lot of vehicles, kept the assembly lines moving and stuff, thinking this chip shortage was not going to be as long and everything else. And that's why you saw those pictures of all those trucks sitting around. But I bet if you drove by Kentucky Speedway today, I bet you find out there's not many sitting there from that part. They've got those chips in those trucks and got them moved and got them gone. There was a one time there was like 30,000 F-150s sitting up at Dearborn. And there was like 10,000 sitting in Kansas City and everything else too. But I'm pretty sure that most of those have been moved and so and from that part. And it's, well, it's like today we're going to deliver an F-150. It's on the showroom floor this morning. I ordered the truck in February. It just got here this week. That's how long that took to get that truck here because of the chip shortage. Strictly, that's all that was a chip shortage. But, you know, Jordan, I don't know if you listened on the show here a while back, but we were in Austin, Dallas. Do you know how many chips there are in the in an F-150? Have you heard that number?
No clue.
Take a guess. Just take a wild guess. More than 100, okay?
Total
Okay, here, let's
total computer chips.
Okay, in an iPhone 12, there's what was there, 12 chips?
No, I think there's 138 in an iPhone.
No, that wasn't that many.
I'm pretty sure.
Okay, so they're saying there's 138 in an iPhone. How many things in an F-150?
Well, if there's 138 in an iPhone, I'd say there's 5,000 in an F-150.
No, there's 1,750 chips in an F-150, okay? So think about how many chips got to be made. Yeah, it's a lot. Think about that. How many they got to make? That's one truck from that part.
Yeah.
And the other thing they've done, they've went around, too, and they've tried to eliminate some options on some trucks to eliminate some chips, too, to get some trucks built and stuff from that standpoint. But, again, we're losing creature features and things that everybody wants in these truck stuff, too. So that didn't work very well either. So now we're back to, you know, just slower demand and everything. I mean, slower producing these vehicles from that part. And plants are going up and down and back and forth. And plants are shut down and everything else, too. For just don't have the chips and to build those things. So I feel sorry for all these manufacturers trying to build these things without any chips. But I want the trucks. I want them now.
What's a creature feature? Is that like a seat for the dog?
Okay, really? Here we go. You know, that's just it. You don't know about creature features, that old thing you're running around in. It doesn't have any creature.
Well, I seen it. The window was down on it that one time.
Was it?
Was it broke or did what? How'd the window get down?
What are you talking about?
On your truck?
How the window?
Yeah.
Did you break the window?
I mean, I probably had it rolled down.
Oh, you don't have power windows in your truck?
Yeah, I got power windows. I'm driving it right now. Up, down, up, down. Works like a charm.
Well, careful. You'll wear
it
out.
I know what you're talking about.
And you'll lose that creature feature.
That's a creature feature. It's a power window.
Robert's just making stuff up now.
That's a creature feature right there, a power window. I really thought
okay, I didn't know. I thought it something for an animal. I didn't know.
Yeah, okay. I think it's time for you to get a new truck, is what I think.
I'm going to get one within a year. I've made a decision, and yes, of course I'm going to buy it from you guys. I just haven't pulled the trigger yet. I own three vehicles, and I have no payment, and I love having no payment. But, yeah, like I'm starting to fix this thing about once a week now. I'm going to buy one, and yes, I'll buy it from Bell Hamilton, I promise.
What's your other two vehicles? What are they?
I've got a 1996 Jayco Eagle motorhome that is in pristine condition with 40,000 miles on it.
Yeah.
Got the 460 Ford, and it gets about 7 miles to the gallon.
If
and
you're
I've
lucky.
Got a 2016. Yeah, and I got a 2016 Chevy Equinox that my wife drives.
Yeah. How often do you get that motorhome?
And I got zero payment. I got it from a retired couple outside of El Dorado.
How often do you get that thing out?
I'm sleeping in it tonight at El Dorado Lake. I sleep in it about, I'd say we take it to the lake at least, well, since I quit racing, I bet we go almost every weekend in the summer.
To El Dorado is where you go, huh?
I go to El Dorado, or if we're just looking for a quick little jump, we go to Santa Fe. Santa Fe Lake, it's kind of a little hidden gym. It's got a good swim beach, and it's a mile and a half from my house.
Oh,
2 miles,
yeah.
Anyway.
There you go. Beautiful. Okay.
Maybe I could just come post it up. You got a lake at your house. Maybe I could just come post it up in your driveway, Phil.
Nah, that's all right. That'd be all right.
Run a cord into the garage.
It'd be like Christmas vacation out there, you and Eddie. Of course, you and Eddie.
Cousin Eddie, yep, that's right.
Real nice.
Shitter's full.
I'm really nice.
Out there in your little gown on and your patent leather shoes on and cigar going. That would be quite the sight. That would really be a sight seeing you out there dressed up in that.
Look forward to it at Christmas this year. I'm coming. I already decided. I'm coming to bring them all family.
Just going to show up. Does your motorhome look a little better than Cousin Eddie's though?
It does. It really does. But for when I bring it over to your house, I'll dumb it up a little bit. I'll take some panels off. I'll make sure it looks right. I'll make sure it looks really nice for your neighborhood.
Yeah, just make sure you get that Christmas present too, dude.
Oh, I got you.
Because I want something real nice.
You guys enjoy your Saturday. I appreciate it.
All right. See you, Jared. Have a good day, buddy. Anyway, Jordan's always fun to get on the show, isn't he? So anyway, Josh, we're running out of time. It's always fun to hear everything else and get on the show. We got a little late start this morning. Sorry about that. Things going on here in the store. Keep everybody excited, moving stuff too. So all kinds of laughter here with Jordan Whitehead on the show. So let's kind of recap a little bit, Josh. Traded for our 21 Bronco, full size, Badlands 2.3 liter manual transmission, black four door, soft top. So 3,100 miles on it. Gentleman got transferred out of Illinois and came in and traded on a Ranger for his son. So we've also got our courtesy transportation program Bronco. It's an automatic. It's silver. It's a Outer Banks. It's a 2.3 also, but an automatic. So come out and test drive these things. Come out and check them out. They're pretty cool. And once you drive them, it's going to blow you away. And once Bronco gets a bunch of on the road, I feel sorry for Jeep. I hope Jeep's in there back in the redrawing board and trying to redevelop something better for what they've got, because it's going to be crazy what this Bronco does and everything else too. So come out and check out the Broncos. I've got them on display here. We've got a Bronco Sport here on stock, ready to go. So that's another one. I'm sure it'll be gone today. Who knows? Might be gone already from that part. These Bronco Sports are very cool, very fun to drive and everything else too. So check out that. Let's see. We had a good night at the ballpark. That was fun. And what else am I leaving out, Josh? Anything?
Got that squared away. We got the Mustang, the 21 Mustang. The next thing we'll be doing on it's the turbo. I don't know. We're going to get started on that next week, but depending upon customer work and stuff like that, we got to get it done here pretty quick so we can get a run at the down at the track before we take to PRI.
Check out episode 4 of Hunt for Horsepower at on Mel Hamilton Ford YouTube, and check out the videos there too of everything we've done. And we got a lot of fun there that part too. So I can't think what's on next, Jenna, for the next week. Is there?
Yeah, I was just trying to think. We got an event out at Cowtown. I don't know. We're doing something out there.
Cowtown on Thursday.
Getting very, very close to giving that truck away. That's going to be, I think, the 30th of September will be that Back the Blue, the Wichita Police Foundation F-250. I'm pretty sure they have all the tickets sold for that thing already. So just waiting on the giveaway for it. So that'll come up here towards the end of the month, but I don't know, somebody's going to walk away with a pretty good vehicle there.
Yeah, it's what is it, September 30th we're doing?
Yeah, I believe it is. Yeah, I believe
it is. I think it is right at Thursday night, yep.
And so, I don't know, it'll be, somebody will be pretty excited on that thing. That's
76,
yeah, but
it's a nice truck.
Not sure that's going to be a daily driver for somebody, but they'll have a lot of fun with it for sure.
Yeah, so thank Brock Barron from Barron Concrete. He donated the truck from that part, and all the money is going to the Wichita Police Foundation. And you know, if they sold 5,000 tickets at $20 a ticket, that's a lot of money.
Sure.
Yep. From that part, so good to be part of that and everything else too. It was a good time out at the racetrack with Beat the Heat, and had a lot of fun with the police officer. Hope we can do that again next year. I'm sure we will. And
I had two or three people walk up to me at the ballpark and just say something about that. And one of the officers that got to be involved with that and run. You know, I visited with him about it a little while as well. And so I know that's something that we're going to pick up and do again and just make that much bigger and better the next time for sure. Get more departments involved in it. But it was a lot of fun and had a huge turnout for that for sure.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, everybody, have a great Saturday. Have a great weekend. Have a great week. And we'll talk to you next Saturday.
9 o'clock.